Good morning again. Thank you for joining us. We're glad you're here. We're glad you're, even if you're joining us online, we're glad you're joining us that way. And I want to just remind you that we are in a season in the minors, a study of the minor prophets. We are in the book of Jonah this morning, and we are going to be covering Jonah 1, the last verse of Jonah chapter 1, and then all of chapter 2. And if you don't have a copy of God's Word with you, you forgot yours, or you don't have one on your device, you can reach under one of the chairs in front of you, find a brown covered book, and it'll be on page 591. So we encourage you to see what God says, not what Pastor Brian says, because that's why we're here. And if you go back to this slide, on the bottom of the slide, we're talking about doing justly, loving mercy, walking humbly. Those are the ways we're looking at the minor prophets in light of our verse for the year. And we're going to see about doing justly this morning, doing what God says is right, walking humbly, walking according to God's word and God's expectations. Last week in chapter 1, we saw from Jonah's life the results of rebelling against God's mission. And that first result is that God will relentlessly pursue you. And the fact that God relentlessly pursued Jonah, you may want to dismiss and say, well, that's just Jonah. But the fact is, there's a lot of Jonah in each and every one of us. Where are your heart and your desires like Jonah's? What storms is God throwing into your life because you are running away from Him? You are rebelling against what He says is right. What reminders is God giving you regularly, bringing to mind? Who is He using to bring those things to your mind and confront you with the truth that you already know but you're running from? Where, like Jonah's life when the lot fell on Jonah, where's God using circumstances and situations in your life to say, pay attention, you are running in the wrong direction, you're going the wrong way, stop, turn around. Are you ignoring what God is doing in your life? Are you ignoring all the things He's putting in your life to remind you, and you're still running and rebelling? If you choose to do that, we also learn that you will deceive yourself. Jonah had a theological problem. He says, I believe this, but I don't live like this. I believe that God is sovereign, God is in control, and God is who He says He is, but I'm going to live the way I want. Where do you say, this is what I believe? Where do you say, this is what I believe, but then by what you do, you show the fact that you don't really believe that. It's just something you say. When you look into the mirror of God's Word, what do you see? Maybe we should back up and say, are you even looking in the mirror of God's Word? Are you looking in there, and when you look in God's Word, what do you see? What does it show you? What does it reveal? What do you see and ignore? Or as James chapter 1 says, you forget and you think about, that's not really me. I'm not really like what God's Word says. I'm like what I think I'm like. We also learn from Jonah, when we run, when we rebel, we don't care about others. We don't care about others. Where is your sin impacting other people? You don't care. Like Jonah, you don't care what's going on. You don't even notice. Like Jonah should have done, you don't stop and repent and say, I'm causing this because of my sin and my rebellion. You won't care about others, but you will care about your mission. The longer you and I rebel and run from God, the harder it is to repent. The longer we do it, the harder it is to turn around. You realize that at the end of chapter 1, Jonah was willing to die rather than repent. He said, I want to do what I want to do. I want to ignore God. I want to disobey, I want to rebel, I'm willing to die rather than change course. And you say, that's just in the Bible. God doesn't do those things today, Pastor Brian. He doesn't pursue people like that. God relentlessly pursued Jonah, and He will relentlessly pursue you. How far will you make God go? How far will God have to go to get your attention? What is it going to take? What will God have to do to get you to stop? To stop running and stop rebelling. God did whatever it took to get Jonah's attention, and He will do whatever it takes to get yours. Are you running? Where are you running? Where are you rebelling? What has God been doing to get your attention and you continue to ignore Him? What did God show you last week from Jonah's life? What did he speak to you about? What did he show you from his word, the mirror of his word? Were you just a hearer? Did you forget what you saw and went on your way? Or were you a doer? Did you continue in what God says is right? What God says, do this, don't do that? Or did you continue to run and rebel? That's where we left Jonah, in rebellion last week at the end of chapter 1. Now, we're going to take a quiz, see how well you do. You didn't do very good last week. So if you weren't here, you know, you're not in that group. When you hear the word Jonah, it's followed by... What? It's on the top of your page. All about God. There you go. For those of you... Yeah, last week it was silence or the whale. Jonah is all about God. Jonah isn't about the fish. It isn't about Jonah. It's about God. Now, there's a lot of Jonah in all of us. We may not like to admit it, but that is the truth. We all have rebelled. We all will rebel. And for some of us, we are rebelling right now. So you are like Jonah, more than you'd ever like to admit. Interestingly, God in his sovereignty, God in his grace, allows people to rebel and run longer than others. Before he steps in and says, I'm done, we're going to deal with this. Now think about this. David, when he sinned with Bathsheba, rebelled and ran from God for over 12 or 9 months, maybe even a year, because there was a child that was conceived and born and then died. God allowed it. He allowed it to go on that length of time. Paul, when he persecuted and he was confronted by God, he said, Paul, it's hard for you to resist, but he continued to resist as he persecuted the church for months, maybe even longer. The nation of Israel, the entire Old Testament, would rebel and God would give grace. They would rebel and God would give grace. And finally, after hundreds and hundreds of years, he finally exiles all of them, some to Assyria and some to Babylon. For Jonah, it might have been hours, it might have been days, at most it was a couple of weeks. Now, if you were God, what would you have done to Paul, or to David, or to the nation of Israel? If you were God, what would you have done to Jonah? Interestingly, if I were God, this is what Jonah chapter 1, verse 17 says. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. That's not how Jonah's life, that's not how chapter 1 would have ended. So here's Pastor Brian's version of Jonah, the end of Jonah 1. We'll start in verse 15. So they, the sailors, picked up Jonah, threw him into the sea. The sea ceased its raging. Then the men, the sailors, feared the Lord exceedingly, and they offered a sacrifice to the Lord and took vows. And Jonah drowned. That's Pastor Brian's version of chapter 1, verse 17. Aren't you glad that I'm not God? I'm glad you're not God, by the way, because some of you would be just as bad as me. But regardless of how long God in his wisdom and his sovereignty allows us or anyone to rebel, he will choose the right time and the right way and the right method, the best method to get your attention and my attention. That way may be different for you than you or you. It may be different than Jonah. You will probably never end up in the belly of a fish. But God will always choose the best way and the best time to get your attention. Now, why does God bother? Why doesn't he do the Pastor Brian approach and say, Jonah, drown? Why did God do this for David, for Paul, for Israel, for Jonah? Why does God do it for you and for me? God would rather have you living anywhere than living in disobedience. God would rather have you living anywhere than living in disobedience. That's why he does it. When this happens to us, when God brings us to the point where there's some place we don't want to be and we're faced with either continuing or giving up our disobedience, we have a choice to make. We have a question we need to answer. The question is the one Jonah is going to have to answer in chapter 2. The question is, what do we do when we fail at rebelling? What do we do when we fail at rebelling? What do we do when we can't escape from God? We can't run any longer. When God catches us, when God confronts us, what do we do? When we fail at rebelling, what do we do? What do we do when we're stuck? Now, Jonah is more stuck than you and I normally think about. We, I think, have the wrong idea of what Jonah's experience in the belly of the fish was like. we also have the wrong idea of what stopped him from rebelling. He's stuck in the fish, and movies like Pinocchio give us the idea that it was rather comfortable, boring and depressing, but comfortable for Jonah. Or VeggieTales, the movie Jonah, you know, there's a whole lot of room in that fish. It's boring, you're alone, but it's not really that bad. This is the best picture I've ever come across, and I think this is the closest we'll ever get to feel or know what Jonah felt in the whale. I think this is what Jonah was like. He was literally stuck. I don't think this is how we often picture it, but I think this is very close to Jonah's experience. And at the time, he may not even known he was in a fish or where he was, only that he was stuck and he could not get out. He could not get out on his own. He was going to need help. Like this gentleman, Timothy Cipriani, who after climbing up a tree and onto the roof of a New York City restaurant, decided he was going to break in through the air duct and rob the place. But he got stuck. He got stuck and was later found with his, as you can see, a picture of someone who took it with legs dangling out over the stove in the restaurant. You know, you would think this was an uncommon thing, that people wouldn't do this. But when you go home this afternoon and you're bored, Google, you know, criminals getting stuck in air ducts or chimneys. It's really a lot. It happens a lot. They're not very bright sometimes. But when they found Timothy, he was screaming for help. Why? Because he was stuck. He knew he couldn't get out on his own. He couldn't get out by himself. He needed help. He needed help, just like Jonah and just like us. Now, I don't think that this was a great experience for him. I would not want to be stuck in a place like that. Jonah did not want to be stuck in the belly of the whale, but there he was. And the belly of the fish is not a happy place to live, but it is a good place to learn. I would say it's a great place to learn. The belly of the fish is not a happy place to live, but it is a good, a great place to learn. With that in mind, as we listen for things that Jonah learned, as we read chapter 1:17 through the end of chapter 2. Now, the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord, his God, from the fish's belly. And he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Out of the belly of Sheol I cried, and you have heard my voice. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me, and your billows and your waves passed over me. Then I said, I have been cast out of your sight, yet I will look again toward your holy temple. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down into the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. Yet you have brought me up, brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you, into your holy temple. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. But I will sacrifice to you with the voice of thanksgiving. I will pay what I have vowed. Salvation is of the Lord. So the Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. So what we're going to see from this section of Scripture this morning is five choices to start getting unstuck when our rebellion fails. Five choices to start getting unstuck when our rebellion fails. So let's pray and ask God to speak. Help us to hear and respond this morning. Father, we thank you for the record of Jonah. We know that it would not have been easy for Jonah to share his failures, but he recognized that being in the belly of the fish was not happy, but it did help him learn. And he didn't learn right away. He was like us. It took him a while to get it all straightened out, and he worked on it probably for the rest of his life. Or as we see from Jonah, his response to getting stuck, his cry for help. Help us to see ourselves where we're stuck, where we're rebelling and still running maybe, where we haven't even gotten stuck. Help us not only to simply see ourselves or recognize that we're like Jonah. Help us to see and respond even better than Jonah did. Help us to learn from him. Help us to hear from you this morning. Help us to respond in ways that please, honor, and glorify you. Lord, I ask you to use me this morning. Help me to communicate clearly. This is a well-known passage of Scripture, but you want to speak to us through it this morning. May I be a useful tool for you. May I communicate what you want me to, how you want me to, in the way and at a time you want me to. Help those who are listening hear from you. Hear from you through me, that I would not be a distraction. We ask that the technology would aid you and that you would use it to help get our attention, convict, and confront us. We thank you for the ability to use this in this building, but also for those who are online. We thank you for meeting with us. We thank you for joining us this morning. Help us to hear from you. Help us not to ignore and continue running. In whatever area of our lives you are speaking to right now, we ask this all in your Son's name. Amen. Choices to start getting unstuck when your rebellion fails. So the first choice we need to make is start getting unstuck by paying attention to what God is doing. Jonah. Now the Lord prepared a great fish to swallow Jonah, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish 3 days and three nights. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Jonah sits for 3 days and three nights. We have no idea how he knew it was 3 days and three nights. Maybe God tells him afterwards. There's no light in there, obviously. There's no way to tell when the sun comes up, the sun goes down. We don't even know if he knew he was in a fish. If he knows, maybe he thinks this is a normal fish. It just happened that I got thrown in and this great big fish was hungry and there I am. Maybe he doesn't understand that God is supernaturally using this fish to get his attention. And he's simply sitting and he's waiting and he's waiting and thinking, I'm going to get digested. Eventually I'm going to die, I'm going to get my wish. But after 3 days of thinking that this is what's going on, I think this is why the Newsboys made this song.
Up to my ears in bitter tears, can't believe I've sunk this low. As I walk the plankton in a sanctum, got out of Dodge, sailed on a bundless bond voyage. You said north, I headed south, toss overboard, good Lord, that's a really loud mouth. I'm sleeping with fishes here, in the belly of the whale. I'm hot and nutritious here, in the belly of the whale. Bad food, lousy atmosphere. Morning, kinda blue. Thinking through that age-old question, how to exit a whale's digestion. It might behoove me to be heaved, head out like a human common.
There you go. I promised I might share some of those musicals that my family has been asking for. So, and it fits. Jonah's sitting there waiting to be digested and saying, I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But for 3 days and three nights, I believe this is his attitude. He's sitting. He's sulking. He's pouting because he did not get his way. He's still alive. He didn't die. He didn't drown. 3 days. Finally, after 3 days, Jonah says, there's something else going on. I'm not dying. I'm not being digested. God finally gets his attention. God finally gets his attention because nothing is too radical for God to do to get your attention. Oh, come on, Pastor Brian. That's just in the Bible. That's just in the Bible. It doesn't happen now. It does, and it will if you continue rebelling. God finally got Jonah's attention. It took something miraculous to do it. God got Jonah's attention. Does he have yours? If he doesn't, how far is he going to have to go? Will it take a health crisis, a financial crisis, bankruptcy, loss of a job, loss of a house, your loss of your business, a marriage or family crisis, jail? Yes, God will do all of that and more because God would rather have you living anywhere but in disobedience. Does God have your attention, or will he have to go farther? Nothing's too radical for God to get your attention. Nothing's too radical for him to do. The light finally goes on after 3 days. He begins to think back. Jonah says, all my choices, I ran from God. God said, go to Nineveh. I went the other way. He finally realizes, I will not get away from God. It's not possible. I really think he's serious. I think he wants my attention. Everything that's happened since I went the wrong direction is because of God. Because I ran, I rebelled, I chose to sin, I chose to disobey. It wasn't a coincidence. It wasn't bad luck. It was God. So once God gets your attention and you make that choice, the next choice is getting unstuck by praying. Jonah chapter 2, verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly. Go down to verse 7. When my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Finally, after 3 days, Jonah decides, I'm not getting out. God's serious. I'm going to pray. Again, we don't know how he knew how long 3 days was, but he finally gets there. He's been in the fish for 3 days, and after 3 days, he finally stops running. Hang on, Pastor Brian. Hang on, Pastor Brian. He stopped running when the fish swallowed him. He couldn't go anywhere. He couldn't run. He's stuck. He's stuck on the outside. This young man on the screen has been told to sit. Is he being obedient? No, he's sitting on the outside and he's standing and rebelling on the inside. That's Jonah. Jonah stopped running when the fish swallowed him because he couldn't. But after 3 days, he finally decided he was going to stop rebelling on the inside. But he kept running for 3 days, trying to get away from God, trying to ignore God. And finally, he starts to pray. He had an honest conversation with God. When is the last time you had an honest conversation with God? An honest conversation. The last time you prayed and talked with God, honestly. Not one that was superficial. Not one just saying the same thing you say. Not just praying at a meal. Not one giving a list of things. God, do this for me. Make my life better. Make me happy. Solve my problems. When is the last time you had an honest conversation with God about you? About you and about your sin? That's where it starts. Start getting unstuck by praying. Start getting unstuck by admitting where your rebellion took you. Where your rebellion took you. I'm going to read sections of Jonah chapter 2, 3 through 6. Starting in verse 3. For you cast me into the deep, into the heart of the seas, and the floods surrounded me. All your billows and your waves passed over me. Drop down to verse 5. The waters surrounded me, even to my soul. The deep closed around me. Weeds were wrapped around my head. I went down at the moorings of the mountains. The earth with its bars closed behind me forever. There's a lot of you and your pronouns. God, Jonah realizing that God has done all of this. I ended up here. I ended up stuck. Not because God is cruel. Not because God is mean or vindictive. But because I disobeyed. Because I ran, I rebelled. I knew what God said and I didn't do it. I chose not to do it. I chose to do what God said not to do. I chose to do what God said don't do. I did what I wanted, not what God said. I chose to sin. That's why Jonah's in here. Where are you doing that? Where are you choosing to sin? Where are you choosing to do what God says don't? A sin of commission. Where are you choosing to do or not to do what God says do, a sin of omission? Where are you choosing to do what God says don't, or choosing to do or not to do what God says do? When is the last time you were honest about your rebellion, your sin, your running? When was the last time you were honest about your deliberate and intentional choices to sin and where they have taken you? Start getting unstuck by honestly confessing why you rebelled. Why you rebelled. Look at Jonah chapter 2, verse 8. Those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. Why did Jonah rebel? What does he say? What does he admit to God? The reason he rebelled was because of idols. Hold on, hang on, Pastor Brian, whoa. Jonah's, the book of Jonah said nothing about idols. Why does Jonah say this now? Why does he say this is the reason, the motivation? He doesn't worship idols. Look back at verse 9 of chapter 1. He says, I am a Hebrew and I fear the Lord. Remember, this was in the midst of Jonah's theological problem. His confessional theology is what he just says. Functional theology is different. In this case, it showed up in his worship because he was worshiping something other than God. Tim Keller tells us you don't get to decide to worship. Everyone worships something. Okay? The only choice you get is what to worship. There's no middle ground when it comes to worship. You do it. It's just a question of who or what. There's no neutrality when it comes to worship. You are either worshiping God or you're not. You are either worshiping God or you're worshiping something else. You're either worshiping God or worshiping someone else. Jonah says, I wasn't worshiping God. I was worshiping me, myself. When that happens, Jonah says, those who regard worthless idols forsake their own mercy. I'm going to use a couple of other translations to help us really understand what Jonah is trying to tell us about himself. The ESV says, those who pay regard to vain idols forsake their hope of steadfast love. The NIV says, those who cling to worthless idols forfeit the grace that could be theirs. Forsake, forfeit. What do you give up when you worship idols? You give up God's grace, God's mercy, God's loving kindness, his covenantal faithfulness. The Hebrew word hesed is what is translated. You forsake, you give up those things which could be yours, and you get in return God's pursuit. Jonah, was a functional idolater. He was worshiping himself. He was running after his desires, his plans, his goals. Who or what are you worshiping? Who or what are you worshiping? Is it God? Who or what are you choosing to worship? Not who or what do you say I worship or confess you worship, but who or what do you actually worship? Who or what does your life, your time, and your talents, and your treasure show you worship? Who or what is your God? What do you want? What do you desire? What are you seeking? What are you running from or what are you running to? Where are you looking for safety and security and for fulfillment? What do you believe will make you happy? What do you fear? What do you worry about? These are some ways you can determine what your God is or who your God is. Like Jonah, what idol do you need to confess? This has caused me to run and rebel. This has caused me to forfeit God's grace and mercy and to get his pursuit, his relentless pursuit. Who or what are you worshiping? Is it God? Start getting unstuck by acknowledging God is the only one who can help. Listen to sections of Jonah chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from the fish's belly, and he said, I cried out to the Lord because of my affliction, and he answered me. Verse 6, yet you have brought my life up from the pit, O Lord my God. Verse 7, I remembered the Lord, and my prayer went up to you into your holy temple. Verse 9, salvation is of the Lord. God is the only one who can help Jonah, the only one that can get him unstuck. He is the only one who has any possibility, any power to do something about Jonah's situation. Jonah can't fix Jonah. God does just that. Verse 10 of chapter 2. The Lord spoke to the fish, and it vomited Jonah onto dry land. Why does God do this? Did Jonah repent? Really, truly, genuinely, biblically repent? If I'm going to repent of a sin, Pastor Brian, should I follow Jonah's example? Nah, not really. Not really. It was a start. That's why the title of this message is Choices to Start Getting Unstuck. I say this because his prayer is focused on, first of all, what God did to him. If you notice that, it's all about what God did to him to get his attention, to get him to stop from running. All he suffered, the consequences of his rebellion, his sin, and his running. And he says in verse 7, when my soul fainted within me, I remembered the Lord. I had no other choice. You back me into a corner, you're not going to let me die. I've got no other option. In verse 9, I will pay what I have vowed. He's saying, I'll do what I have to do to get you off my back guard. This is a start. It's not complete repentance. There's no mention of his sin, his rebellion, his disobedience. We talked about early owning 100% of our own sin. He doesn't mention his sin. He doesn't ask for forgiveness. And if you know the rest of the story, Jonah is going to go to Nineveh in chapter 3, what he should have done in chapter 1. And he's standing in Nineveh obeying God, but on the inside, we get to hear his conversation with God, and he is still running. He is still rebelling. He still thought he could run and rebel. He still thought obeying God is an option. It's optional. Where do you think that way? Where do you think obeying God is optional? Does this sound like you? Do you think obeying God is optional? Maybe you think you can get to heaven on your own, not following God's plan. You can say, I can do it my own way and God will let me in. Maybe you've accepted that. You said, I can't do it on my own, God, but that's as far as I'm going to go. I'm not going to be obedient in other areas. You say, if I'm a believer, I should be baptized. Well, I don't want to do that. You're saying, I'm a believer, I should be connected to a church and serving. I'm not going to do that, God. I should be fellowshipping. I don't like those people at church. I like other people. I should be looking into the mirror of God's word on a regular basis and applying it to my life. Yeah, no, I don't like the way that shows me. I think I'm different than that. These are omissions, things that God says do and you're not doing. Are you treating what God says to do as optional? What about commissions, treating what God says not to do as optional? Well, don't do that. We said do these things. Don't live apart from God's word, God's people. Don't care what God's word says. Is that how you approach? It's optional. Maybe there's something in your life that started out small and is now grown. It's become a habit, an enslaving sin, an enslaving part of your life, and now you're trapped like Jonah. You cannot fix it. But you're still not willing to turn to God, the one who can help you. You need help. Turn to God. Maybe you are trapped, enslaved by pornography, substances, gambling, anger, bitterness, apathy, selfishness, debt. God would rather have you living anywhere than living in disobedience. That's why he's pursuing you. If you are in the belly of the fish, it is not a happy place, but you can learn and you can grow. What do we do when our rebellion and running fails? We start by paying attention to what God is doing. God got Jonah's attention. Nothing is too radical for God. How far will he have to go to get yours? Does he have it yet, or is he still going to have to go farther? Pastor Brian, that's in the Bible. That's in the Bible. I know. Jonah, fish, yeah. Nothing's too radical for you. Nothing was too radical for God to do to Jonah. Nothing is too radical to do to you. Start by praying. When's the last time you had an honest conversation with God? When is the last time you did this? Not praying over a meal, not having a list of God do this, God help me with this, God fix this. But when is the last time you had a conversation about you and your sin with God? Where are you choosing to do what God says don't? Where are you choosing not to do what God says do? Getting unstuck starts by admitting where rebellion has taken you. When is the last time you were honest about your rebellion, your running, and your sin? Not that it was an accident, not that it was something that happened. It is a deliberate, intentional choice to end and to make, and here's where it brought me. This is where it brought me, my sin. Start by honestly confessing why you rebelled. You don't get to decide to worship. Everyone worships. The only thing you get to decide is who or what. Who or what are you worshiping? Jonah worshipped himself, his desires and his plans. Is that who you're worshipping? Not, this is who I say I worship, but this is who I worship. If someone examined my life, this is who or what I worship. They can look at my time, my talents, my treasures, my life, and they'll say, you worship, fill in the blank. Who or what is that for you? Who or what is your God? Who or what are you running from? Where are you looking for safety, meaning, fulfillment? What do you believe will make you happy outside of God? What idol has caused you to run and rebel and forfeit God's mercy and grace? We also start by acknowledging the fact that there is only one person who can help. Only one. God. Like Jonah, do you think obeying God is optional? Do you think what you're omitting or treating what God says is optional? God says this, nah, that's an option. I don't like that option. I'll choose it later, or maybe I won't choose it all. God says, don't do this. Well, I like doing that. I don't care. So optional. God says it. Whatever God says, it's optional if I want to do it that day or that moment. Where do you think obeying God is optional? Where are you living apart from God and His Word? You don't care what He says, what He thinks, or what He wants. Maybe it's something small that started out and is now big and dominating and life enslaving. Where are you stuck this morning? Where are you stuck this morning because you have been or are still running from God? What choice from this morning's message has God shown you? You need to make this choice this morning. What has He spoken to you about? As you looked into the mirror of God's Word, what has He shown you this morning? Are you going to be a hearer this morning? Just a hearer? Are you going to have seen yourself in the mirror of God's Word and said, okay, and move on and forget what you saw? Or are you going to see, remember, and then be a doer? Not saying, God, what you say is optional. God, what you say is the truth. It is important. It is what I need to do. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this morning. We thank you for Jonah recording his honest prayer. While it wasn't true biblical repentance, it's often how we pray. We focus on our circumstances and not on ourselves. Lord, we thank you for the opportunity we're going to have to respond through communion this morning. Lord, help that not to be the only way we respond. Help us not to forget what we have heard, what we have seen of ourselves in the mirror of your Word. Help us to respond, not just hear and forget, but hear and do. We thank you for the lessons of Jonah. We thank you for recording in a man doing and thinking and speaking like we often do, to confront us, to challenge us, and to encourage us that not only did he do this, but you gave him grace, pursued him, got his attention, and continued to use him. May you be pleased with what's been said and done, more importantly, with our response this morning to the life of Jonah. We thank you for this. We ask this all in your Son's name. Amen.